I want to start by Wednesday night, right after Shavuos, extremely impressive. So really, shkoyach to all of you for coming out. Shavuos, gotta tell you, was incredible. And I want to just thank everyone who helped make it so special. We had shiurim throughout the night. Ellie, Johnny, so many other people. I don't know. So many other people participated. Really, such a crowd like this for every single one of the shiurim with a mix of all the minyanim. It was extremely uplifting and something which we should continue to build on. And look, this has become a Torah center, man. This is no joke. Wednesday night, right after Shavuos, this is no joke. You guys are not sick of it yet. That's why, you know, I'll take a few weeks off, so it'll be good. You guys will, just to keep everything fresh. But really, so shkoyach to everyone for Shavuos. This morning, actually, I was walking in the hallway of my office building, and there are a few offices in the building in which I am in, and I overheard a conversation between two coworkers, and one said, let me just ask you a question. On a rate between all the Jewish holidays, how important is Shavuos? And I was thinking, I'm like, it's a pretty great question. I was thinking, you know, it's one of the shalosh regalim, obviously, but it's when we got the Torah. So if we didn't have this, we wouldn't have any of the other ones. The guy was clearly asking a very gomdish question. I'm sure that's what he was intending. But it got me thinking and really just appreciating what we had here over Shavuos and what we continue to have here. Look at this again. Just look around. A lot going on Wednesday night. Not an easy time. Now at the 8:30, 8:40 slot. We're going to keep it short. Don't worry. I know it's late. But so really, shkoyach everyone for coming. So this week's Parsha, we have Parshas Naso, and there's so much going on. It is the longest Parsha. Psukim-wise, make sure to drink a lot of water before. And the Gabbaim will make sure to ensure that it's a davening that moves a little bit, whatever it may be. That's their job. But our job is to go and attack some of these sugyas. And there's so many interesting ones. You have all the Nesiim. You have the repetition that we have on Chanukah, right? Everyone likes to lean on Chanukah. That's always my good leaning. Chanukah, you just got to repeat the same thing over and over again. Not too difficult. But then it gets into Nazir and Sota. Well, Sota and Nazir, right? The Gemara tells us, or Rashi already explains to us, the reason why Nazir exists is because they will see what happened with the Sota, see what happens when you kind of get off your game a little bit, when you let your guard down a little bit to the Yitzhara, and then you're going to go and take upon yourself the vow of the Nazir. So we have Sota, Nazir, and then we have a few psukim dedicated to Birchas Kohanim. And we all know that Birchas Kohanim, right? Mark's the only Kohen here? Oh, right. Oh, yeah. Darn all them. So sorry. I didn't see you. Good to see you. So, right? No one else? So we have two Kohanim here, so it's obviously important for them, but it's important for each and every one of us, because not only is this timely because of the fact that we just are about to read Parshas Naso, which has Birchas Kohanim, but we also just had Shavuos, where we did Birchas Kohanim, and we all know that us Ashkenazim in America only do Birchas Kohanim on certain Yomim Tovim, and that is it. And sometimes it falls out on Shabbos too. We do Birchas Kohanim in very limited situations. However, if you walk down to any Sephardic minyan, which you can find one on most corners in Forest Hills, so you walk to any Sephardi minyan, and you will see that they do Birchas Kohanim every single day. Or you go to Eretz Yisrael, and you will find that you do Birchas Kohanim every single day. And I always found this phenomenon very strange. What's different about us? Yeah, we have Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu Barchinu Barbracha Meshulashes, and we say, Keni Ratzon, right? Yivarech Hashem Yishmerecha Keni Ratzon. But what exactly is it that is going on? So I want to take just a short amount of time, just analyze this mitzvah a little bit, and really get into the heart of the issue as to why we do not say it every single day like they do in many other places. So the Sephardim obviously do, we know, and in Eretz Yisrael they all do. So why are we different here? Do we just like to save time? Potentially. Does it really take that much more time? Do we not like washing hands? What's going on? Why do we not do it? So let's just start with reading a few of the psukim. I'm sorry for the lack of source sheets. Baruch Hashem, I think I could say with certainty I would not have printed enough. It's a good problem to have. But I'm going to try for more English on the source sheets. I know that's what people like, and that's going to be my goal. This week, since it was a shorter time, didn't put as many sources on. We'll read a few that I have here just outside to everyone. But no source sheet this week, but Amir Hashem, next week we will have one, or whenever the next year is. But say the Psukim and Parshas Naso, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe Lemor. And Hashem said to Moshe, saying, Daber el Aaron de'al banav lemor. So say to Aaron and his children, Kosev arachu es b'nei Yisrael amor lahem. Go and bless the Jewish people and say to them, Yivarechecha Hashem yishmerecha. He should bless us and guard us. Ya'er Hashem panav elecha v'ichuneka. He should be a light for us, and he should make us smart. He should enlighten us. Yisa Hashem panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. And then it ends off, v'samu eshemi al b'nei Yisrael v'ani avarechem. And you should put my name on b'nei Yisrael v'ani avarechem is, and I shall bless them. So it's very strange what exactly is going on here. Before we even get to the sugya itself, just understanding what Birchas Kohanim is, the Kohanim are kind of acting as the intermediaries between us and God. God is saying, Va'ani avarachim, it's a bracha that's going to come from me, but the Kohanim are just going to be the ones to do it. So we're going to have to understand why exactly that is. Maybe that's for a different time. But we should know that the Kohanim, while they are really special and we do like them a lot, they do have a certain type of elevated status. That's why they get the first aliyah. That's why we say Birshus HaKohanim when it comes to the benching. You know, people get a little offended by the Birshuses. You know, when you're benching at someone's house and you say Birshus this, Birshus that. Oh, what about me? What about me? So the Birshus, just to explain, the Gemara Brachu says that when you're at someone's house, the person who's, there's an order of people who are supposed to bench. So really what you're saying by Birshus is just, really that person might be the one that's supposed to bench, but instead, I was asked to bench. That's why you're saying versus them. So it's nothing personal. It's nothing bad. Whoever gets offended by that should not be offended by that. That's all it means. Now, I always go into these side things and never know how we got there. But good. So we got there because this is Hashem blessing us, not the Kohanim. But through the Kohanim, Hashem is giving us a blessing. Very good. So now, when does this apply? From the Psukim, it seems like this is an everyday occurrence. It seems like it's every day. It doesn't make a distinction. It's not like Trumar, Bikurim, or any of these mitzvos, Hatiluyos Ba'aretz. Doesn't seem to be connected to the land of Israel specifically. And it's not connected to any time frame, any time period, or anything like that. It seems like it should be every single day, no matter where you are. If we look at the Rambam says that it applies every single day. And we say it every single day in Shacharis, Musuf, Ni'ilah, whenever those things would apply, but we do not say it in Mincha. Does anyone know why we do not say it at Mincha? Oh, very good. We do not say it at Mincha because there is a chashash. We are afraid that someone is going to be shikur. The Kohen is going to be drunk by that time in the night. You know, it's a long day, long, hard day. We never know what's going to happen. You're going to kick back and happy hour, take a few drinks. Exactly. So we're choshesh for the happy hour, so that's why you want to go, and we never have it on Mincha. Oh, you're going to ask me a good question. What'd you say? Oh, very good. So Dan asks a good question. So I understand why we don't have it during the rest of the year, because you're going to have a drink or two during the day, and a Kohen is not allowed to do the Avoda when drunk. So we want to avoid that at all costs. This is a form of Avoda, as we will see. So we want to avoid that at all costs. So that's why we never have it at Mincha. But what about a Tainis Tzibor or Yom Kippur?
In Israel, they do it on
Sfardim. Oh, and Sfardim do it, right. But why do we?
In Israel,
even the Ashkenazim. So says the Shulchan Aruch. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Ein nesiyas kapayim ela b'shachris uv'musuf uv'ne'ilah b'yom sheish bo ne'ilah kimo b'yom ha'kipurim. So you say nesiyas kapayim, shachris, musuf, and ne'ilah is obviously on Yom Kippur. Aval lo b'mincha mishum d'shchicha shichros ba'usa shah. But we do not say it at Mincha because at that point in the day, you can assume, I mean, I hope not, but maybe you could assume that someone is probably drunk, so it's not going to work. Shema Yeheya Kohen Shikr. Maybe the Kohen is drunk, and then we will not be able to do this Avoda. V'gazur b'mincha shaltanis, atu mincha shar yamim. And we have a gzera on mincha of atanis, lest you come to do it for the rest of the year. So, interesting, we're going to have to look into why those minhagim are such. I don't really know what the minhagim are in Israel. It's part of the community. So I wonder if that's an Israel thing. Interesting.
What?
Yeah.
Not Ashkenaz, it's Ashkenaz.
Yeah.
Maybe it's minhag Yerushalayim.
So.
He's allowed to drink from I don't understand.
No, so it's just saying, you know, that by that point in the day, certain times, we don't always know when the avod is going to take place or when the exact Kohen is going to be the one, right? There were 24 Mishmaros, meaning there were 24 groups of Kohanim. And even within the Mishmaros, there were a bunch of different groups in addition to those. So you didn't always know when it was going to be your turn. So the average person back then, by the time it got to Mincha time in the day, probably had a few drinks. It's not necessarily applicable nowadays. Maybe it is. Everyone, I guess, to each their own. But that's what the Gezerah was back then. But the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch do not seem to make any distinction between the place where we are. It could be in Eretz Yisrael, it could be in Chutz Arutz, it could be in Mitzrayim. The Rambam makes no distinction. The Sefer Achinuch, who bases a lot of his works on the Rambam, explicitly says Bechol Makom, and the Mishnah Brura as well says Bechol Makom, this is going to apply. It's going to apply everywhere. The Mishnah Brura might be coming to exclude Rav Yaakov Emden, who thought that this is specifically a din in the Beis HaMikdash, meaning it might actually be a mitzvah hatluya ba'aretz. You would only do it in the Beis HaMikdash setting. So the Mishnah Brura says Bechol Makom, it's going to apply everywhere. Now, being that that is the case, what's our justification? How do we not do this every single day? Where does our minhag develop from? So the earliest source, or someone who traces it back the earliest, seems to come from the Beis Ephraim, the Shailos and Tshuvos Beis Ephraim. This was Rav Ephraim Zalman Margolios. He was a businessman, was a nice, wealthy individual, but also a tremendous Talmud Chacham. He was a student of the Chasam Sofer, and he was extremely valued in Halacha. He wrote the Shailos and Tshuvos Beis Ephraim. He also wrote the Mata Ephraim, which is a work on the Elul Zmanim. So if you want to look at that book, that's fantastic for Elul Zmanim. And then he also wrote the Shailos and Tshuvos of the Beis Ephraim. And someone gained the courage to ask him, we want to start saying Birchas Kohanim every single day. It's a really nice opportunity. It's this moment. You get to go under the talis with your kids or whoever it may be. Whenever I go to the Sephardi shuls, I always see that everyone gathers around the Rebbe and it's like one big huddle. Right? People have seen that? Yeah? So it's always this big huddle. I've never gone in, but mystical, wonderful things, I'm sure. They wanted to have this as part of their davening. And they asked this guy, they asked the Beis Ephraim, can they go and institute this into their tefillah? And he said, absolutely not. Why? He said, this minhag goes back over 500 years. And he was in the 18th century, or the 19th century, in the 1800s. So it goes back over 500 years, back to the times of the Rishonim. And he says, if the Shach, who was the most notable Kohen, let's say, right? The Shach, Shach HaKohen, so if he didn't institute it in his shuls, then who are we to go and institute it into ours? Not necessarily saying that the halacha, the sugya, doesn't fall out that way, but saying there have been people before us who have asked these good questions. Oftentimes we ask questions that are so intense, and they're actually very good questions, but oftentimes we have to remember that we are not the first ones to ask these types of questions. Certain questions exist, and there are answers, and we shouldn't think just because we're not understanding something that it's not true. Separate topic. Yes, it was an interesting day. Okay. So, that is what he says. And he also says, though, this might be traced back to the Marami Rutenberg already. The Marami Rutenberg was a very important Rishon. He was the Rebbe of the Rush. He actually spent a lot of his life in jail. I think we discussed this when talking about trading prisoners. Right? He was someone who they wanted to go and raised the money to free him, Pidyon Shvuyin. They wanted to go and release him from jail, but he said, no, don't. The Rush already was on his way, and if they do free me, it's going to cost them a lot of money, and then they're going to attack all the Talmidei Chachamim, and it's going to cause a major loss for Klal Yisrael. It's going to cause a major issue. The Marami Rutenberg was the real deal. So this might even go back to the Marami Rutenberg. So he points out that, no, we're going to stick with our minhag of only doing it on Shabbos, or certain times on Shabbos, and Yontif. We're only going to do it then. That's when we are going to do it. But if we look throughout the other types of poskim, if we look at the Beis Yosef says, in Chutz La'aretz, the Ashkenazim don't do it. And I don't understand why not. He gives a few suggestions, as we'll discuss in a few minutes. But he says, in a Yasher Koach, he actually says those words, the Yasher Koach to the Bnei Eretz Yisrael, who do go ahead and say it every single day. They do this Nesias Kapayim, they do go ahead and do Birchas Kohanim every single day. And the Magen Avram quotes our minhag of not doing it and says this is a minhag tos. He says it is a very bad minhag. And virtually all of the poskim seem to think that one should be doing Nesias Kapayim every single day, which begs the question, what are we doing? Yeah. Very good. What are we not doing? How could we possibly go ahead and not say this? How could it be? So what's fascinating is even before we get into the halachic issues, this is something that has been written about for years for a bit of a different interesting reason. The Meshiv Davar, the Netziv, in his Shailos and Tshuvos Sefer, known as the Meshiv Davar, writes something incredible. He quotes from his father-in-law, and he says, Shepam achas, Hiskim Rabbeinu ha-grozal, lahanig, Nesias Kapayim Bechol Yom Bebeis Midrasho. So the Gra, this is the Gra we're talking about, the Vilna Gaon. He was viewed as a Rishon in many people's eyes. This is no joke. So the Gra decided, he looked at the Sugya and he said, you know what, virtually all of the postgame, the entire Sugya seems to lend itself to say that you're supposed to have Birchas Kohanim every single day. So the Gra decided, tomorrow we are going to start doing Nesias Kapayim every single day in Shul. V'ikvu'u min hashamayim, says in the Tziv, God had other plans. Man plans, God laughs. God said, nope, you're not doing that. V'nilkach lebeis ha'asurim be'eis ha'machlokes ha'nora'a bevilna, lo aleinu. He says, that was their whole plan. They were waiting for the next morning. Everyone came early to shul the next day. Okay, it doesn't say that. I'm just drawing out the scene. Everyone came early to shul. They had their extra long taluses ready so they can cover as many people as possible. I don't think we're going to get to that tonight. Why you don't look? Talk about that another time. They had their extra long taluses ready. Everyone was so excited for Birchas Kohanim to start. And they go to shul and, wait, where'd the Gra go? What happened was there was a big machlokes, and obviously the Gra was arrested. He spent a lot of his life in jail. The Gra was arrested for whatever reason. I'm sure some horrible crime of learning, something like that. The Gra was arrested, and he took this as a sign that maybe he shouldn't be saying Birchas Kohanim in a shul. Okay, that's one instance. But then again, V'achar kach, I saw that the goyin Reb Chaim Volozhin, Zal hiskim biyom echad shebiyom ha-machras yitzav lisa kapayim. So he wanted to go. Reb Chaim Volozhin wanted to go. He was a major starter of many yeshivos. He wanted to go and start. It was Shabbos, and he decided, you know what? Starting tomorrow, starting Sunday morning, we are going to do Berchas Kohanim. And what happened? Uva oso laila. Nisraf chatzi ha'ir. Ubeis ha-knesset sheba'ir. And that night, there was a huge fire in the community. And it destroyed many houses and destroyed the shul. V'ro'u v'hisboninu sh'yesh bazeh eza davar sod b'sisrei ha-shvas ha-bracha ha-yored al yedei Berchas Kohanim b'chutz la'aretz. V'eini tani yodea adma. Says the Netziv, Rav Chaim Volozhin wanted to go and start Birchas Kohanim as well. And the night before he went to go start, there was a major fire and wiped out the whole shul. And again, he said, you know, there must be something going on here. There must be some reason. I don't fully understand what it is, but there must be some hidden reason why they do not want us here, why God does not want us to be saying Birchas Kohanim in chutz la'aretz. At least for the Ashkenazim. I guess only the Ashkenazic houses got burnt down. I don't know. But so the Ashkenazic houses got burnt down. So they decided, even though maybe me didn't, it seems proper that this is what we should do. God's giving us a bit of a message that we shouldn't do this. And this is in the Netziv. But if we look at the Aruch HaShulchan as well, the Aruch HaShulchan was a tremendous halachic work. It's not into any sod always. Well, I shouldn't say any. He obviously knows all of this. He knows everything. But he was a very practical halachic mind. He says, there's no good reason why we don't say it. If you look at the sugya, we should be saying Birchas Kohanim. However, but what could we do? It's as if a bas kol came out and told us that we are not supposed to do Nesias Kapayim in Chutz La'aretz. So there were two great Torah scholars in the generations before us that wanted to go and establish it back into the davening. There were these major instances that happened. This terrible hardships befell the community during those times. So they took it as a sign from Shemayim that they're not supposed to do it. However, he says, Amnam be'eretz Yisrael v'mitzrayim v'v'cho azia nosim ha'kohanim kapeyim b'cho yom. But he says in Eretz Yisrael and in Mitzrayim, I guess that means the Sephardic community, but in Eretz Yisrael and Mitzrayim, they would do it each and every day. But this is very interesting. Again, if we line up the sugya, it seems to come out that we certainly should be doing it every single day. But we have these mystical reasons why we are not doing it every single day. But we need some more halachic reasons. What would be those reasons why we are not doing Birchas Kohanim every day? It's one of those situations where the halacha seems to be clearly one way, but the minhag is very clearly another way. And obviously there's got to be some substance to this minhag, so where does it come from? What are some of the justifications that we have for not saying Birchas Kohanim? And the first one comes from the Beis Yosef quoting Ma'aril. Ma'aril quotes a few, and we'll just focus on the first one for right now. The Ma'aril says that there used to be a minhag amongst the Kohanim that they would go and be tovel every single morning before Birchas Kohanim. They would go to the mikveh. They wanted to bless the Jewish people when they were tahor. So they went to the mikveh every single morning. Now, they were in Europe, and it was freezing. And they're going to go to the mikveh every single morning? Please. They're not going to go to the mikveh every single morning. We've spoken about the Arizal mikveh. Not always easy to go to the mikveh when it's freezing. So they stopped going to the mikveh, so that's why we stopped Birchas Kohanim, because they weren't able to do it betara. Asks the Beis Yosef, that's a beautiful reason, but who told you you have to go to the mikveh? This is a classic example of a chumrah haba asa lidekua. Right? You have to make sure when you take chumras upon yourself that it's not going to cost you in a different area of halacha or a different area of bein adam l'chavero. They took upon themselves a chumrah to go to the mikveh every single morning before Birchas Kohanim. No one told them to do that. There's no gemara to do that. It's a very nice thing. But now that falls by the wayside, so now you're going to get rid of something which might even be three mitzvos asay. Maybe not three. The Gemara has a whole discussion whether it's three mitzvos asay, one mitzvos asay. Maybe it's just an exaggeration, whatever. The post can talk about that. But you're going to give up what seems to be a legitimate mitzvah just because of a lack of a midas chasidus? That doesn't make any sense. The Beis Yosef says, that can't be the reason. You got to be careful, again, when you take certain things upon yourself, that it's not going to cost you in any other areas of halacha. One of those examples that comes up is some people like to say this about Shavuos night. Shavuos night, I don't want to stay up all night because then my davening's going to be bad and the next day I'm not going to learn as well. So that might be true for some. We obviously have to look and make a cheshbon whether that's really true. I think I told you all about Rabbi Sobolovsky when we were talking about the shul was going to fly him back for Tisha B'Av, and we were talking one day, and he's telling me, he said, Ash, what do you think? Do you think I should take this flight? And if I take this flight, I'll only miss 2 hours of learning, but I could probably learn it on the plane, so it'll be okay, but it might not be as good, but then I should make it back from morning Seder the next morning, or should I take this flight? It's over the night, but I might miss an hour of Seder. So I said, which one has more leg room? I don't know. Which movies will be better? So when you really are actually someone who's always thinking like that, that is a very fair. Excuse my father-in-law, for example. He'll kill me. I don't think he's going to listen to this. So,
I'm listening.
Father-in-law, like every night, you'll see him. He's learning till like 1 o'clock and then wakes up for Vasikin. So yeah, it might be better for him just to do that again as opposed to staying up all night. But they asked Rav Shlomo Zalman. Someone went over to Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach and they said, should we stay up all night or should I go to sleep so that way I can wake up the next morning and learn better? And he said, this was someone who was raising kids, and Rav Shlomo Zalman said, of course you have to stay up all night. The guy was taken aback. Why would I have to stay up all night? Rav Shlomo Zalman said, the kids in yeshiva are taught that this is Yarag V'al Yavor. There's, don't do Avodah Zarah, don't do Gilei Arayos V'Yichos Dam, don't kill anyone, and then stay up all night for Shavuos, obviously. So they're taught that this is something that you have to do. Yeah, it's true, you have your cheshbonos, but the kids are just going to see you going to sleep, and they're going to say, Dad, what are you doing? So it's worth it for that point. So, okay, everyone's got to make their own chesh bonus again, but I always found that story interesting. Reason number one, again, is that the minhag of going to the mikveh was canceled, and since they canceled that, they canceled Berachas Kohanim as well, but the Beis Yosef says that's ridiculous. You don't give up halacha for a midas chasidus. That is answer number one as to how we justify this. Now, the Ramah comes, and if you look on Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah comes with a very interesting reason, and he says, anytime you have Berachas Kohanim, it needs to be done b'simcha. Right, guys, I can tell you done b'simcha, yeah? Needs to be done b'simcha. You get to take your shoes off and shul, all fun. It has to be done b'simcha. How do we know this? There's a machlokas, whether a single kohen could do it, because maybe you're only fully b'simcha when you're with it, okay, whatever it may be, ishto kigufo, whatever it may be. So there's a machlokas about that, but we also know, says the Torah from Yitzchak Avinu. Yitzchak Avinu was going to give the brachos to Yaakov and Esav, but before he could give the brachos, what did he have to do? Yitzchak, get me some food. Get me a nice meal. He needed to be fully besimcha before he was able to go and give over these brachos. So you need to be besimcha for the brachos. Nowadays, when we are during our normal work week, we're stressed out. It's tough. Parnas is not easy. There's a lot of other things going on in our mind. We're not fully focused. Only on Yontif could we have the true simcha. And I think we all recognize this over the three-day Yontif where there were no phones, no devices, nothing else. Only on Yontif could we have the true simcha and really focus to the point where we can have Birchas Kohanim. Interesting. I was talking to a rabbi last night who told me, oh man, okay, it's getting late. We were talking to a rabbi last night who told me, I was talking to him about Birchas Kohanim for a minute, and he said, if you think about the bracha, which they say, Asher k'dushanu b'kdusha b'mitzvosav shal aram b'tzivanu v'varechas amo Yisrael b'yahava. But the question is, where does this b'yahava come from? We read the psukim. It says nothing about ava. Who made that up? And Asher Kiddushanu, it's part of the mitzvah that it needs to be done be'ava. Where'd that come from? So, I think this is what he was trying to say. I don't know, but perhaps this could be all part of the same yesod. It needs to come from the simcha mereis. When you're going to bless people, you need to be in good graces with them. That's why it's all part of the bracha itself. It needs to be besimcha. Says the Rama, since we are not fully besimcha, we cannot do berachas kohanim during the rest of the week. That's why we're only going to do it on these specific yamim tovim. Interesting, I was thinking back to a Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that the only time nevuah can come, and this is a quasi-nevuah, you're the ones blessing God, you're blessing the Jewish people through God. Anytime nevuah can only come when there's simcha. And the Gemara uses this for a very interesting story. The Gemara tells us that Eldad and Medad were prophesizing that Moshe Rabbeinu was going to be destroyed. He was going to be killed, and it was going to end up badly for Moshe Rabbeinu. And Yoshua wanted them to stop. So what did Yoshua do? The Gemara tells us Yoshua gave them a public post position. They were supposed to work for the public. What does that have to do with anything? Says Tosos on the spot on Daf Yud Zayin. He says anyone who's working for the public knows that you can never be fully besimcha. People are always complaining and giving you a really hard time. So he gave them a public position so they can no longer be besimcha, so they can no longer prophesize about Moshe Rabbeinu. Love that, Tosos. So the point being that we can only do this when we are fully besimcha, and since during the week we are not fully besimcha, that's why it's not going to work. So what about those in Eretz Yisrael? Maybe they are besimcha the whole time. Or maybe they don't hold of it. Okay, the Sfar tomorrow is besimcha. Hey, go to Sfar Dimini and everyone's happier. Much nicer. So maybe that would be the pshat, but that's what the Rama wanted to say. Answer number three. I guess let's catch ourselves up to where we are, then we'll do the last two answers and we will close it up. So we started by pointing out the psukim about Birchas Kohanim and just pointing out how there's really no distinction made as to where, when, or anything like that. It seems like it would be a constant mitzvah, and this appears in the Rambam, in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Sefer HaChinuch, in all the places. The Mishnah Berurah even says, Bechol Mako, maybe to come to exclude Rav Yaakov Emden, who thought it was in the Beis HaMikdash. But it seems there should be no distinction made at all. Yet we still have the minhag not to say Birchas Kohanim in Chutz Aretz. So why? In fact, the Beis Yosef says this is ridiculous. And the Magen Avraham says the minhag betos. And everyone seems to say it's crazy, so why would we not do it? And we pointed to a few interesting stories. The Nitziv and the Aruch HaShulchan both pointed out that there were certain rabbis, the Gra and Rav Chaim Volozhin, they wanted to institute this into Klal Yisrael to have Birchas Kohanim every single day. But there were fires that, or jails that destroyed that, and they took it as a sign that maybe God doesn't want this from us. And this has been Mekubal, says the Beis Ephraim, for over 500 years. Who are we now to start this? We then got into the question itself. Why do we not say it? The minhag seems to be very clear, if you look at all the poskim, that we should say it. So we gave a few reasons. Number one reason was from the Maharil, where he said that they used to have a minhag to be tovel, to do a tvila. Nowadays, they stopped that because it was too cold. Once they stop that, they're going to stop Berachas Kohanim. The Beis Yosef didn't like that because we don't give up halacha for minhag. Or halacha for midas chasidus is even lower than a minhag. So what is that about? That was answer number one. Answer number two is from the Rama, that simcha is the key. Since during the week we're struggling and we're stressed with our work, we all have a lot going on and we know that, so we can't really do Berachas Kohanim properly. That's why we wait until Yontif when we could do it besimcha, and that's when we would go about and do Berachas Kohanim. Answer number three from the Beis Ephraim. Interesting approach given by some is that nowadays we don't really know who the real Kohanim are. We think that they are Kohanim, but we don't actually know for sure. The Shulchan Aruch tells us that if someone comes over to us and tells us they are a Kohen, we will believe them in terms of this. But in terms of certain presence, certain matnas kahuna, maybe we won't necessarily understand it. In terms of the avoda, questionable, who exactly is a Kohen? Nowadays we have Kohanim from Chazaka, because they heard from their fathers that they were, from their fathers that they were. Right? We all know the story of the guy who so desperately wants to become a Kohen. And he says, I'll offer you tons of money, $1 million, if you just can make me a Kohen. He says, why do you want to be a Kohen so badly? Because my father was a Kohen. And then I heard different versions. In one version, the rabbi took the money. In another version, the rabbi didn't take the money. Depends who you ask. So, we don't necessarily know exactly who the Kohanim are. We go by, right nowadays, we have Kohanim of through Chazaka. We all know that there is a din that if a non-Kohen does the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, that is really bad. We don't want to risk it when it comes to every single day because we don't know for sure that these are Kohanim. And since we don't want to risk it, having a non-Kohen do some sort of avodah, that's why we don't do it every day. Why is Yontif different? We have to assume they're Kohanim sometimes. Again, the question is better than the answer. But that's why we wouldn't have Berachas Kohanim every day, because we don't know exactly who is a Kohen. Now, this becomes very relevant the sugya of non-Kohanim giving brachos like Kohanim or doing avoda like Kohanim every single Friday night. Or any time you give your children any sort of bracha, or anyone, any sort of bracha, right? We say, Yisimcha Elokim Kim Ephraim Nashe, Yivarecha Hashem Yishmerecha. We say these psukim. So many poskim don't like this. They don't like the fact that we say these psukim because we are not all Kohanim. So you could say it, you could say it. But we are not all Kohanim, so maybe we shouldn't be saying this. So the Gra, in fact, he wouldn't put both hands on his child. He put one hand, so that way it wasn't a real hardcore avoda. Okay, others want to say, okay, we all know that we're not doing avoda here, which is probably the way most assume. I was talking to someone this week who told me that every single time he gives his kid a bracha, he says, so that way it's all part of the psukim in the context. Okay, I mean, I think we can all go with the approach that we're not really doing avoda, but that's where it comes up in the postgame.
When Yaakov finished the Ephraim and Asher, mm-hmm. put one hand on each of them. So how is it?
Oh, so I guess it was through both hands, right? You guys have two hands up, but that's going for the entire shul.
So you mentioned that the girl only used one hand.
So I guess it's...
But how would that minimize it if that's how Yosef...
Oh, very good question. But I assume what the answer is that you using both hands is different than one hand, right? So there, Yaakov is using both hands. So
he had two boys,
right? But he was using both hands.
Each grandson.
So I think, but like with, when you guys do it, so you have 100 people there for only two hands. So when you're using both hands, then it's a din of both hands. But maybe not. It's a good question. I'm not sure. That's what I would assume the answer is. One hand is different than one hand each. Yeah? Alumnus? Good alumnus over there. Okay, that's answer number three, that we don't really know exactly who the real Kohanim are. And then answer number four, the Chasam Sofer says it goes all the way back to the Beis HaMikdash. Since everything goes back to the Beis HaMikdash, there's a din in the Beis HaMikdash. Whenever we had any sort of avoda, where we had a question about the kavana, something like pigol, which the Daf Yomi was just doing recently. So you have pigol, where the kavana has the ability to ruin something. And since nowadays we don't always have proper kavanos, we don't always know exactly what we're doing or why we're doing it, or are we able to focus the entire time? I'm a perfect example of that. When we are not able to focus the entire time, we're afraid that the kavana could ruin the entire avoda. So we don't want to do it every single day because people aren't going to be able to focus every day. But yantif, we can assume that maybe people will be able to focus just for that amount of time. This is similar to the wedding night, right? The wedding night, the chassan wasn't supposed to say marv because he's tarred b'mitzvah. But nowadays, we assume, since no one has real kavana for marv anyway, then you can go ahead and say kriyashma. We should all strive to have the kavana. Obviously, it's not an excuse. It's not a built-in excuse, but it's something we should strive for. So that is the fourth answer, that we don't want the kavana ruining something since this is part of the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. So again, the four answers, number one, all based on the lack of the mikvah minhag, which the Beis Yosef didn't like. Number two is the Ramah, that it was all based on simcha. Number three is the Beis Ephraim, that we don't exactly know who our Kohanim are. And number four was the Chasam Sofer, that we didn't want kavana to ruin our avoda like pigol, so that's why we stay away from it.
Another thing about simcha, the difference between here and Eretz Yisrael, during Yud Beis Chodesh, Havel doesn't look in here in the States.
Oh.
It does look in Eretz
Interesting.
Yisrael. So, I don't know how you can...
Well, that is probably based on the Simcha then. No, we're going to have to discuss Eretz Yisrael because I think we're the ones that have to answer the questions. They have the right to do it. They're in good standing doing it. We're the ones who don't do it. We're the ones that have... It's Hamotzi Mechaver El Avaraya for us. So we have to answer why we're not doing it as opposed to them answering why they do it. So for us, that's our answer as to why we're not doing it. Yeah, what do you want to say?
If we're not sure who's going, what about the tribe?
What about the Sephardim and Eretz Yisrael? So that's, we're just justifying for ourselves. The standard should be that you should say it. So we're trying to give excuses, or not excuses. We're giving reasons why maybe we developed the minhag not to say it. So it could be that we're not as comfortable with the yichus machines as they are. Meh. You know, you could say something like that.
Sounds like the best reason not to flip it is that the shul burned down and he went to jail. That's the best.
Yeah, these are good points. So it's a very good question, because nowadays certain people, I don't know who, but certain people might do a little drinking before Musaf, where we do have, I mean, I'm sure that won't happen here, right? But it might, right. Simchas Torah, right, exactly. That's exactly, as Johnny says, that's why in Simchas Torah we do Shacharis, because we know that most people have Kiddushes before Musaf. That's why we would do it specifically on Shacharis. So I can't even imagine a situation where Shul would have this issue of Musaf being a problem, but yeah, Enochanami, the Kohen should be careful. Yeah, Kohen should be careful. Okay, so that is the sugya part. We like to end with a little bit of drush. It's a fascinating Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos on Daf Chaf has another story between the Malachim and Hashem and the Jewish people. Right? We spoke about one over Shavuos as to why we got the Torah. The Malachim are always trying to find tainas on us. And the Malachim came to Hashem and they said, God, you said in your Torah you're not supposed to take bribery or show favor to anyone, but you totally show favor to the Jewish people, says the Gemara. V'haloata nosei panim li Yisrael, d'ksiv yisa Hashem panav eilecha, from our pasuk of the Brachos. It says that you turn your face to the Jewish people. You clearly favor the Jewish people. So you're going against your own laws. God, you hypocrite. Okay, I hope they didn't say that. What are you doing, God? How could you possibly play favorites and not go with the Jewish people? Amar lahem, v'chid lo esa panim li Yisrael shekasavti lahem b'tar v'achalta v'sevot v'irachta, esa Hashem elokecha. Malachim, what do you expect from me? How can I not favor the Jewish people? In the Torah, it says, V'achalta v'savata uveirachta, that you should eat, you should get filled, and you should bench. Technically, midin, based on the understanding of the pasuk, you're only supposed to bench once you're fully satisfied. Yet, v'heim medaktikim alatzman ad kezayis v'ad kabetza. Yet, they're so strict on themselves that they bench even when they just have a kezayis. Are they full from a kezayis? Maybe some people are. I'm not. Are they full from a kabeta? Probably not. But still, if they just had that, they would still bench. How can I not favor the Jewish people? And the idea being, just using our psukim, is that when we go out of our way for God, God will go out of his way for us. And they use this by Rosh Hashanah, when we go out of our way to do extra mitzvahs, when we appreciate things, even when there is justification for us not necessarily being satisfied, God is going to go out of his way for us. He's going to forgive us maybe when we don't deserve to be forgiven. He's going to do certain things that maybe our lot doesn't deserve, maybe based on our mazel doesn't necessarily equal that we should have this, but when we go out of our way for God, when we are moser nefesh for Hashem, we come to a shir on a Wednesday night, right after Shavuos, a late shir nonetheless, man, it's late, sorry about that, God is going to pay us back, God is going to look at us in a more favorable way. We shall be zocha to continue to do mitzvos, to build off everything we've done over this last little stretch of time and continue to learn and develop